Hey everyone, welcome to the Neon Eon. I am Thomas Mooney, and this is just a little teaser trailer of sorts to get the feed established. It's all just so iTunes and Google Podcasts and Spotify and so on. So once the first episode officially comes out, it'll all be set. But also, I want to just kind of talk a little bit about what the Neon Eon is. So if you have followed me on social media for even just like a little snippet of time, or if you've been reading any of the stuff I've written over the years, or if you just know me personally, you'll know that I'm just kind of infatuated and obsessed with 90s country music. Now, to be perfectly honest, I'm pretty obsessive about music in general, but when it comes to country music released from this era, which I'm kind of considering from around 86 to around 2001, I just feel a little bit different about it. There's something special. Now, I'll fully admit that it does scratch a certain nostalgic itch, but overall, I just find the era to be really interesting and complex and exciting. Now, to some degrees, it does contradict itself. But all in all, I feel like it's so overlooked and underrated by just a lot of folks just because it became super popular. And of course, it does mark a shift in country music due to that rise of popularity. Now, over the years, you of course have plenty of country artists who transcend the country music label. You have your Willie Nelsons and your Johnny Cashes of the world. But it really wasn't until the 90s that country music went mainstream in a real, genuine way. That's in part because of the introduction and popularity of the compact disc. It's because of a great economy and like these really strong radio markets, work commutes to and from bedroom communities, and of course, bigger, louder concerts and tours. It's no secret, the 90s is a true peak in consumerism. It's a Mount Everest, if you will. There's also this really interesting thing that happens sonically and in the songwriting when it comes to this era. You have these neo-traditionalists sweep in with the likes of Clint Black and George Strait, Dwight Yoakam and Alan Jackson and Reba McEntire. And then you have like this other new era of country artists come in with the likes of Garth Brooks and Shania Twain and the Dixie Chicks and Tim McGraw, who they're still playing country music, but they're also embracing an outside influence at the same time. It's as though the neo-traditionalists are one foot of country music who are firmly set in tradition and roots and legacy. And then the other foot, it is striding forward. It's going into the future and it's adding these bits of pop and soft rock and R&B and arena rock. And it's all for the better and it is all for the worse. Personally, of course, there are some songs and artists and albums of that day who I feel are just hit or miss. That's natural. I'm sure you do as well. But when you take a step back, I feel like the Neon Eon, as I've dubbed it, as a whole, it's still pretty strong. Of course, I could go further into it right now, but I'm not going to because that's the actual point of the podcast, I guess. But with the Neon Eon, we will be exploring these trends, these songs and songwriters, the albums, the artists, and so on. To break it down, there will be three general episode types on here. One, most of these will be in the form of one-on-one interviews with the stars, the songwriters, those one-hit wonders and forgotten gems and bands of the day. We will go down that memory lane and talk about some of those stories and talk about what it was like in the moment and then also how they reflect on it today. Two, some of these episodes, they will be conversations and discussions with other journalists and other writers. And then three, others will be with present day artists talking about those heroes and those influences. So the Neon Eon will officially get started this coming Wednesday, January 6th. This first episode will be with Clay Walker. I'm tacking on at the very end of this a little snippet of that interview. But before, be sure to hit that subscribe button wherever you're listening. Go ahead and subscribe to my other podcast called New Slang while you're at it. Go give the Neon Eon a like or a follow on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram so you can keep up with the conversation and get as many updates as possible. You can also become a Patreon subscriber as well for even more Neon Eon and New Slang material. All those links, they'll be in the show notes. So yeah, I'm excited. Hopefully you're excited as well. We have a lot of really great stuff coming up. And yeah, I'll see y'all this Wednesday here at the Neon Eon. You know, you mentioned some of these big songs like Hypnotize the Moon and This Man and This Woman. Obviously songs that you ended up cutting from other songwriters. What was, I guess, like early on, or not even early on, but like in the middle of your career, what was it like when you had these songs being shown to you? And what was that process like of realizing, you know, like, oh, let's cut this song? And was there like always just like that instant connection to some of them?
I think that there was this fear, and then there was this shock. You know, the fear was, when I came to town, you know, you got to remember that I had not co-written songs before, like written with other writers, nor had I ever been pitched a song that someone else wrote. You know, so here I am. I've got two things to go by. I've got the great songs on the radio, because the only thing that they played on the radio were hits, you know, big songs, the greatest of the great, right? And then I had my songs that I had written, and some of them stood up to some of the really good songs, you know, that were on the radio, but not all of them. So then I got to town, and, you know, my fear was is that, A, I was not going to get pitched the great songs, you know, and also, what if I chose wrong? You know, what if I, you know, here I got these songs I've written, and then I've got other people pitching me a song. What if I choose the wrong song and it doesn't make it, right? And then the shock to me was that when I did get a phenomenal song pitched to me, like This Woman and This Man, the shock was, why would they give that to me? You know, and that I had it. You know, I felt like that I had won the lottery. Literally, I felt like I bought a ticket and won the freaking lottery. And those are great moments, you know, and they happen for, you know, any singer out there that's having success on the radio, George Strait included. You know, they feel that way. When they get one of those songs handed to them, they feel like they've won the lottery.